Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Three and Out podcast. I'm Kyle Reams. I'm here with Alex Amster.
Hi, guys.
And Jada Pant.
What's up, guys?
We are going to be kicking it off with our fantasy two-minute drill. It's playoff time, so it's very important that you get all your decisions correct. And here's Amster with his starts of the week.
Okay, so first I'm going to go with quarterback Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans at the Jets. I think he's going to have a great week, and it's really just a weak Jets defense. I look for him to target DeAndre Hopkins and really exploit that secondary. Then I'm going to go to the running back out of Chicago, Tariq Cohen, versus a weak Green Bay defense. And really, Tariq Cohen has caught a lot of balls out of the backfield, and he really is a threat to score any single time he touches the ball. So he's a must-start. And then I'm going to go to L.A., where I'm going to take both Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks, both Rams receivers, against the worst secondary in the league, which would be the Eagles. I expect for Sean McVay to really hype up this Rams team and bounce back their offense after that bad performance last week. And then I'm going to go to tight end with Rob Gronkowski. He looks to be back after a season-high 25 PPR points last week against the Dolphins, and I think at the Steelers is a great matchup for him. He dominated this last year. I expect some deja vu. And then lastly, defense and special teams, Bears D. I think at home against the Packers, they just dominated the Rams, best offense in the league. Why can't they do it to the Packers? There's really no defense in fantasy you can start over the Bears right now.
And now for some waiver wire pickups. I'm going to be starting with Ian Thomas, the tight end for the Panthers. Greg Olsen is out for the year, and Ian Thomas, in his absence, has transformed into Cam Newton's number one end zone threat. And then next, I'm going to take either of the Chargers' backup running backs, Justin Jackson or Trez Newsome, since Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon, both questionable and most likely out for the Thursday night game versus the Chiefs. Both of them should step up against a weak KC run defense. Next, I have Dante Pettis, wide receiver for the Niners. He's become Nick Mullins' top target. He's had a touchdown in the last three games, and he should continue that streak. And then finally, I have Deshaun Hamilton with Emmanuel Sanders on IR for the year. He has stepped up to be the Broncos' slot receiver, where he has thrived last week and should continue. And now it is time for college football here on the 3 and Out podcast. And we're going to be starting off with some news. We have Kelly Bryant transferring. He's going to Mizzou.
I think it's bound to happen. Listen, we really haven't been focusing on him since he's left. It's not really a major part of college football anymore. And I honestly don't care. This doesn't make them any likelier to win the SEC. Doesn't make them any sort of contender. It's just him giving it a chance to be the man on campus for, what, like one more year, two more years?
Yeah, maybe a year or two. I think that everyone's kind of forgetting, though. He's good, though.
He's like, obviously good. I mean, he got offered by Clemson. Anyone who's offered by Clemson has to be good.
Offered by Clemson and was starting at Clemson until... What recruit was Trevor Lawrence?
He was a five-star.
Yeah. So, like, he's still a good quarterback.
By the way, he was a five-star also, I believe.
Missouri is just not a great football program that he can necessarily
turn around.
I don't think he's good enough to turn them around.
Well, obviously. I think it was the only school that offered him because, listen, the man's got a lot of baggage. People, especially with Jalen Hurts, the way he treated the whole situation, it made him look bad. So, and like, I don't really think he's going to make a difference.
I don't. I think he'll make a difference.
Do you think he's going to play well enough to be drafted?
He'll be drafted, I think. But
I disagree. I think he's a glorified game manager. He's like from late.
But I think he has the makings of a good quarterback.
Well, obviously, any five-star will.
And then we have another quarterback. We have Will Greer. He's going to sit out. Bowl game.
I mean, listen, you know, you play all these bad defenses, you got to sit out against one of the better ones you play. You got to look good. You got to keep your stock high because listen, he's only played these like terrible Big 12 defenses. I don't think he would have done much in the game. He didn't really have any passion going into it. It was a Camping World Bowl at the end of the day. I don't think I would have a lot of fun playing the Camping World Bowl in the playoff system. I think if there wasn't a playoff system, then he would have played.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that there's no pride anymore. There's no pride in college football anymore. And that's why
it's an overstatement. But
I'm saying there's no pride after you don't make the playoff.
True.
Like, I don't think people have the means to, like, win a game.
And also, yeah, like, the bowls people don't care about the bowls anymore, and, like, we're starting to see more and more, like...
Like, C-Mac sat out. Leonard Fournette sat out. And by the way, these guys all got drafted high.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you don't want to risk that injury.
If the Heisman winner is announced, and unsurprisingly, Dwayne Haskins didn't even crack the top two. Kyler came in first. Tua came in second.
Listen, that's what, since 2008, you have three OU Heisman winners, Bradford, Kyler, and Baker.
There is definitely some Oklahoma QB dynasty being built here. They have three of the best college quarterbacks we've seen in a while.
It's all due to Lincoln Riley. I think this
Lincoln Riley wasn't there for Bradford, was he?
No, but he's a genius offensive coordinator. And, like, this legacy, like, this is a guy who can possibly get, like, called up into the NFL. I think he should be. I'm sure he's getting many job offers.
And then, now, on to preview for next year's Heisman.
Tua. Listen, the man's
mad. What do you think the top three is going to be?
I'm really. If Dwayne comes back, Dwayne will be there.
I think the top three is probably going to be the top. Where the top four was this year minus Kyler, which would be
Jonathan Taylor.
Tua, Dwayne Haskins, Jonathan Taylor.
I think Trevor could have a chance. I would see Trevor going in the top three. I could see three quarterbacks again, especially if Dwayne stays.
And now on to some previews for the non-playoff bowl games. Starting off with the Fiesta Bowl, we have UCF, LSU.
The real playoff matchup,
yeah,
Kyle,
this is the real one, and I think this is finally the test that LSU wanted. I mean, they beat Auburn last year, but no one cared about that. I think there's not really going to be... I think it's going to be close, but I don't think UCF can win without McKenzie Milton.
I definitely think they're going to get handed their first loss of the year, but at the end...
First
loss in 2 years. And I think Orgeron... By the way, this LSU team is their best chance to win a game. I'm looking through all these teams that are playing major bowl games. If they ended up with any other team, I could see it as a blowout. This one's going to be close just because the UCF hype is real. But at the end of the day...
They don't have their starting quarterback.
And LSU has better talent than Auburn. I mean, I think
than
it's
Auburn
fair.
Did last year?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
And listen, I know Devin White's going to be sitting out. And Greedy Williams is also, maybe, perhaps.
But, yeah.
Two studs on defense sitting out, but still, like, this LSU team's just much more talented than UCF. Yeah. I'd be very impressed if UCF can figure out a way to get this done. I think if they go undefeated again, after this win, you'd have to give them a chance.
Yeah. And then next we have the Rose Bowl. We have
Urban Meyer's
last game, Ohio State.
How fitting, playing the one bowl game he's never played before.
Yeah, and I think that... Do you think if they had been playing the Rose Bowl, he'd stick around?
No, it was more mental health and physical health.
And then he's going to come back in 2 years and coach USC?
I could see that. I mean, he's just like... Coaching's a very hard job.
Yeah.
It can have a toll on you both mentally and physically. And that's what happened to him at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that Ohio State, there could be definitely be an argument made that they should have made the playoffs.
And I think they're going to play like it.
And I think that Washington is not going to have the ability to slow them down.
And I think, if you saw Dwayne Haskins' story the other day, he was talking about the disrespect that he received this year, because think about it, like...
He came third in Heisman voting, and he deserved that.
People are also saying, like, oh, he shouldn't have been nominated for the Heisman. So if you...
Who would have they had over him?
Like, Jonathan Taylor, I guess. And here's what he said. He said, all this disrespect, you already knew I'm the coldest. Now I'm going to just have to kill all of you. No apologies either.
Okay, so it's a death threat from a quarterback, so I think he should be dismissed from Ohio State.
And listen, he posted a photo of his Rose Bowl jersey, and he said... I'm gonna go off this game. I think. Listen,
yeah,
they're motivated, and the main thing is that these seniors are motivated. Also, this is their final
game, and they want to win for Urban.
Yeah, and listen, I think it's not going to be close after the blowout, after the game with Oklahoma and Alabama, where it's not going to be close either. You're gonna be like, man, they should have put Ohio State in the playoff.
And then finally, the Sugar Bowl. Georgia versus Texas.
This is arguably like the best non-playoff bowl, I think.
Probably. I think Georgia will take it. Texas, in my opinion, a little bit overrated. Just because people want Texas to be good.
I think, yeah. So I got Georgia this game.
I do too. I think Texas is overrated. I don't think.
But I like Texas next year. I think they showed a lot of potential this year.
Yeah, I think they
especially if Ellinger comes back. By the way, that's a dark horse Heisman right there. Sam Ellinger.
All right. I see it. And then lastly, we're going to talk on the potential of an 8 or even 16-team playoff.
No 16.
No 16?
6 to 8 teams. I would prefer a 6, like a light beta test.
The problem with expanding the schedule is you're always going to have no matter what, it's always going to be, oh man, that seventh team, they should have made it in, or the ninth team, they should have made it in.
Well, if you watch Klatt, that's what he said. He said, I don't want to expand it because I don't want to be arguing between the eighth best team in the nation versus the ninth best team in the nation. Most people view those teams as relatively the same in terms of level of talent most years.
And maybe that's why six is better, just because it's a little bit more cut and dry.
Fluid. And listen, the seventh best team was Michigan. I don't see Michigan beating anyone ahead of them, and I think most people would see that.
But the thing is, with an eight-team playoff, UCF would be in, so I'm a big fan of an eight-team playoff just because of that.
I think we should go my proposal is that you expand it out to six, make a cap there, beta test it for a couple years, see if people like
it. Well, then theoretically, we're still in the beta testing of the normal of the 14 playoff, if you think about it.
When did Jameis Winston play? Because that was the last BCS championship one.
Yeah, that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, Alabama's made it every year, so obviously,
2014. Yeah, it was 2014. That was 4 years ago.
Yeah, so
we've had 3 years of.
So, would you like to see maybe 2 more years of the playoff and then?
I'd like to see how this year goes, and then next year, if there's some egregious snub, then yeah.
Listen, by the way, these rules take a long time to implement. This is the NCAA at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that just about does it for our college section.
Yeah.
And now it is time for the NFL section here on the 3 and Out podcast. We're going to be starting off with some recaps of the games last week, beginning with a great Sunday night game, really exciting. Rams at Bears.
This was a defensive showdown we expected. I mean,
exactly.
Kyle and I called it. I think Vic Fangio really out-schemed Sean McVay, and really that was something I expected.
No credit to Nagy? No credit to Nagy whatsoever?
Nagy calls plays on offense. I don't think really he affects much of the defensive game plan.
Yeah, he's not the play caller, but I still think you got to give him some credit
there.
Yeah,
give him some credit.
Trubisky only threw, what, 3 or 4 picks, so I'm not going to give him any credit.
He did have the one touchdown play where there were 4 different.
That was true. He does call some funky plays.
Non-offensive.
I will say that.
There, so.
But I think this Bears D is obviously carrying this team, but definitely was a great test for the Bears. And the thing about this is, which is interesting, and I was hearing about it too, the Rams are never going to have to play in a cold weather games. That was a good test for this team. But guess what?
We now know
they're not a cold weather team because they're going to get a better seed than the Bears. So either they lose at home in the playoffs in LA, or they play in the dome in New Orleans. I'd say the Rams have a better chance in the playoffs. Although, would I count out the Bears coming into LA? And,
I can see them being
the
a good upset team. Like that's a team that can always go in somewhere and like win.
As long as Khalil Mack's on that field, I mean anything's possible.
Yeah, that's true.
I think out of most of the teams in the NFC, they might be the team I trust the most on the road.
Right, I think because what Nagy likes to do is run the ball. We've seen the involvement of Jordan Howard a lot more now. And really, if Trubisky can step it up, I think the sky's the limit for this team. Obviously, they're very young defensively. They're young all around, actually.
I personally just found it really funny because these were both two guys who were drafted really high and considered to be the future of the NFL.
And now moving on, we have Eagles at Cowboys and...
If I was a Cowboys fan, I'd be saying, let's trade 3 first-round picks for Amari.
If anyone is now saying that the Cowboys lost the Amari trade...
Well, we don't know yet. We don't know what the draft is.
Doesn't matter. It does not matter. That first-round pick would not have turned around this team like Amari has.
I think long-term, is it really going to help them that much as far as playoff wins?
No, but it's going to help them make the playoffs this year, which is... That's what their goal was.
That's not the Dallas Cowboys standard.
That's not what
actually.
Jerry Jones wants.
No,
wants
Jerry
to win a
Jones,
Super Bowl.
Jerry Jones wanted to be good. He doesn't want a rebuilding year. He just wants to make Dak
the future because he's got the intangibles
exactly.
and the attitude.
They're always going to be mediocre with Dak. It's just you can't make a fourth round quarterback an elite quarterback out of nowhere. I mean, really, there's not much the Cowboys can do in this situation. And obviously, if they extend Dak, you know they can do that. Personally,
I think they can make a run in the playoffs this year.
Who are they going to beat? Like
they might win one home game.
This
is how they win. They play a home game and they have to run the ball very well. It's very hard for them to win.
They're too one dimensional.
The Seahawks would beat them at home.
I would take the Seahawks.
I think both wild card teams would probably beat them. Whoever they are,
the
honestly.
Vikings.
Whether it's the Vikings or Panthers.
Great.
Well, I'd say the Vikings can definitely bounce it back.
Yeah. And then speaking of the Vikings, you have Vikings at Seahawks, and that was somehow, after watching the Sunday night game, I didn't think it could get uglier, and then it did, with Vikings-Seahawks.
Look, it's an unfortunate situation as John DeFilippo is a you know, he comes from the Andy Reid tree, so he loves to pass the ball, and Mike Zimmer just loves to ground and pound and run the ball. So you saw that, you know, John DeFilippo was fired after that ugly loss. So that was, you know, that was because they just couldn't really bond together.
I think it was also a little bit because of the fact that Kirk Cousins has been a complete failure.
And if you told the Vikings ownership, I'm giving $84 million to, you know, Kirk Cousins guaranteed for this type of performance, you know, that's...
They could have stuck with Keenum and been better. That was not a good signing for them. He's the highest paid player in the league.
In guaranteed money. 100%
guaranteed.
There's no argument.
Something to
there.
Keep an eye out for the Vikings. Kevin Stefanewski, he was denied an interview by the Giants in the offseason just because Mike Zimmer wants some loyalty. He thought that Pat Shurmur was going to take him with him to be the OC of the Giants. So now it's his time to step up. He is Mike Zimmer's guy, and he could be a rising offensive coordinator candidate. I think he'll probably stay in that role in Minnesota next year, if not be that for another team.
And do you think that DeFilippo is going to get another job offer?
I don't think he's going to get demoted. I think he's going to either be hired as an offensive coordinator again or a head coach because right. His track record shows this was kind of a fluke because the Vikings aren't built to be a passing team and for DeFilippo to call out not really even establish a run game like what's been happening and not really use Dalvin Cook. Mike Zimmer really did not like that, obviously, and that's kind of what led to the falling out. I mean, I'd say he's the best coach available on the market.
I think he'll be an offensive coordinator. I think, I don't think he... I could not...
Give really him another year, see if
maybe,
he's
maybe Packers hire a defensive coach, and you know, they throw yeah.
in
Filippo
as well. That's my theory.
And then on to Ravens, Chiefs, and I mean, this is exactly what I said would happen. Slowed down game. Chiefs still took it. But
very close.
Very close. That
fourth
too
and eight
close.
When Mahomes scrambled. That was a crazy play.
And to anyone who says that Mahomes is not an electric quarterback, I mean, like, he can make plays that no one else can make.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of just threw it up and Tyreek Hill ran back to the ball.
Behind the back one?
No look.
We're not talking about the no look, but obviously the fourth down play. I'd say that was
a great
play by Tyreek Hill. Yeah. Obviously, you have to have someone with crazy arm strength to get it in the vicinity, which is great. And really, that was just a crazy game, and it shows the Ravens are legit with Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
They are legit.
And he's having a very good year.
And also, they could have won that game if he didn't get hurt.
Right. And next, we're going to go
to Jada's favorite game.
The Miami Miracle.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. This event never happened. This isn't a real...
Wait. Can we just flashback?
Belichick is a great Hail Mary coach. Like he's had some innovative plays.
Okay, Kyle, can you add this clip? I think I remember Jado saying that in the Patriots-Bears game, Belichick purposely let them catch the ball on the one-yard line just because it's a chess piece. He's like, I just don't want to let him in the end zone, but I just want to tease the fans.
Yeah. Let's talk about that Hail Mary for a second. I have an interesting theory.
What's your theory?
I think Belichick
let them catch it. Yeah.
Just so he could,
I knew you were going to say that.
Just so he could work on, like, containing it. I think that's just a new strategy he's trying to, implement.
Honestly, like, people
I legitimately believe it. So, like, as a fan, I have to obviously focus on the bright side because if I focus on that play, I'll be really sad, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the bright side is that it took Belichick 18 years to mess up.
That's one of the dumbest decisions I've ever seen. It's Ryan Tannehill on one leg.
Yeah, I don't know.
From 69 yards away.
Obviously, we should have not let them. All I have to say is, on to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And then now we're going to talk about the playoff picture. We're going to talk about who's in, who's out. And, I mean, obviously, the number one seed. This is probably going to be released after the Thursday night game, but in the AFC... The one seed is most likely going to be decided by this Chiefs-Chargers game.
I don't know about that, to be honest. I mean, I guess essentially it will be, but...
Because if the Chargers win, they don't have the tiebreaker, but if the Chiefs lose any other game...
Right. I mean, I guess essentially if the Chargers win, they would be the number one seed, but I don't know if they could hold it. But yeah, I think it's really interesting. If I had to... I guess we can all just take our predictions for the AFC and NFC real quick. I would go with Chiefs number one, Patriots number two, and then I'm going to keep the Texans at number three, the Steelers number four.
Steelers over Ravens?
Yes, and then Chargers number 5, and then I'm going to go lastly at 6 with the Indianapolis Colts, I believe.
I've got to agree with the Amster.
I have the same one, except I have Ravens over Steelers.
And you have the Steelers not making the playoffs.
Not making the playoffs.
So who would be the 6th wild card spot?
Colts.
Okay.
Listen, I think the Colts will make it over the Ravens because at the end of the day, they have the quarterback situation figured out. They have a proven quarterback in Andrew Luck
and
great coaching.
And I think they can go 10-6. It's possible. The Colts play at home against Dallas, at home against the Giants, and at Tennessee. All very winnable games.
I agree, and I think the Colts will make it. I just think that's 3 embarrassing losses in a row for the Steelers. I don't think that Mike Tomlin can coach this team back into...
Wait, 3? Who did they lose to before that?
Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I completely forgot about that game.
They had the Broncos. They had
because we thought it was a fluke. That's
why they had the Big Ben pick at the goal line. They had the 23-point choke, and they had whatever this was to the Raiders. And I just don't think...
Mike Tomlin could be fired, by the way.
And, I mean, I'm not going to say he deserves to.
The man's
just
good at talking his way out of scenarios.
This is a disappointment. This offense is incredible.
The thing is, though, the Steelers are just afraid. I think the ownership's afraid. You know, they've had, like, 3 coaches since the Super Bowl era, right? Yeah. So I think they're afraid to make that coaching change.
They're definitely, like, big on stability. This is the same with the Packers. These old franchises that have been great for a long time, they want to be known as model franchises, guys that give their coaches a chance and keep them around for a long time.
Right, and stick through them in the tough times. But it's been probably now
10-year deal.
It's been now 2 years in a row that we've kind of said, well, Tomlin's had a little underwhelming year. I mean, look at the roster he has.
Yeah.
He has Antonio Brown on his team,
Juju
Smith-Schuster, a great veteran quarterback.
And now he has a pass rush. He has a defense.
And
he has
a
vibrant defense.
So I'm not really sure what's going on in Pittsburgh. Anyways.
On to the NFC. I say it's going to be Saints 1. I think the Saints are going to keep it at 1. Rams 2. Bears 3. Cowboys 4. And then I have Seahawks 5. And I don't know who's going to get the 6. I could see it going to Eagles.
No.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I'd say the 6th seed is going to go to the Panthers or Giants.
The Panthers have been awful.
The Giants, wow.
Oh, wait. Sorry, did you say the Giants?
Yeah.
Yes, so the Giants would just have to win out and basically have teams lose 2 out of 3 to last.
I saw what you're talking about. It was such a specific set of games that have to be lost.
I mean, the Eagles have to lose 2 out of 3. They're playing at the Rams and at home against Houston. The Vikings have to lose 2 out of 3, which is definitely possible with the way their offense is looking. Carolina has to lose 2 out of 3, but they play New Orleans twice, so it's definitely not out of the picture. The Giants would have to win out, but if they did win out, the Colts wouldn't get their wild card spot. So that's why I'm going to... My thing would be Saints 1, Rams 2, Bears 3, Cowboys 4, Seahawks 5, and I think the Panthers are going to... I think the Vikings are going to keep that playoff spot with the 6th seed.
I got to agree with Amsterdam.
The Panthers' schedule is too tough. They play New Orleans twice.
I think it could also be maybe the Redskins. Let's say...
No.
Let's say Josh... I mean...
No.
They looked They looked so much better without Mark Sanchez.
Well, they were also up by 40, so
true.
The Giants' defense wasn't really trying.
I mean,
but,
let's see what happens if they have Josh Johnson in front of
the
week.
I got to agree with Amsterdam on this one.
And now on to some previews for the coming week. We're not going to talk Chargers-Chiefs as... This will have been released
as
after
the Chiefs
that.
Would have won.
Sure,
Chiefs win. Fast forward in time.
Okay, cool. Cowboys at Colts.
Great game.
Shockingly good game, and I think that this is a battle between two of the hottest teams.
Two
in
months
the league.
Ago, though, earlier in the season, we'd say, "Oh, that's a bad game."
Yeah, this would have been awful.
Now
it's
a nice game.
Yeah, and I think that the Colts are going to take it. Better coach team, better quarterback team. Yeah, the Cowboys have an amazing defense.
But I don't think they can hold up. On the road, I just don't know if they can hold up. I mean, Eric Ebron would definitely stretch the field. T.Y. Hilton's a very good deep threat. And I don't think the Cowboys D has it in them. And look, this is, I think, the biggest test yet for the Cowboys this season.
Yeah, I would agree. And I'm taking the Colts.
I'm taking the Colts as well.
I'm taking the Colts also.
All right, and then next on to...
Don't make us look bad, Frank Reich.
Saints at Panthers. I think this is going to be a Saints blowout. The Panthers have looked terrible.
I'm taking Saints as well. I just think...
In a blowout, though?
Drew Brees, they need to get that number one seed. Carolina has looked horrible. Cam Newton's been playing at a bad level. There's no way, really. There's no logical explanation to take the Panthers right now.
I'm not taking the Panthers, but I think it's going to be way closer.
I don't agree with the blowout, but maybe a 10-point
win.
They don't look immortal on the road.
But I definitely think that the Panthers cannot keep up with
this
team.
So we're all taking the Saints?
Yeah.
Yes, we are. And then finally, Patriots at Steelers.
Redemption game
this
for
was,
both teams.
This was thought... This was, like, expected to be... to decide the AFC, but it's another game this week that's probably going to decide it. And this is just a disappointing game for both sides, I think.
I have to take the Patriots. I just think Belichick's going to be angry. And there's... I just can't, like... There's, again, I just don't think there's any logical way you can take the Steelers after their struggles. James Conner is
the only
really
logic you have is that they're at home. That's the only possible.
Yeah, but
logic.
Antonio Brown has been locked down because he can't take the double teams. You know, that's what that's the Le'Veon Bell effect. The Steelers would be such a good team right now with Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
unfortunately, that's not the way it played out this season.
This is what you get when you
I think the Steelers are not going to be able to keep up, and
we're all taking the Patriots as well.
Yeah.
So a clean sweep, 9-0.
Three clean sweeps.
Better better with the Colts, Saints, and Patriots. They better win. Make us look good. Come on.
And Chiefs, because you know we all know that the Chiefs are going to win, right?
Yeah.
I'm abstaining. And that is going to wrap it up for our show today. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to check out the other Chronicle podcasts, including Roundtable Rundown, which talks a little more about a bunch of other sports, whatever's in season. And HW Goes Back to the Future, where Harvard West alumni are interviewed, where they speak on their time here at the school. On behalf of Alex and Jadiv, I'm Kyle. Thank you all for listening.
See you all next week.
Thanks.